There's a commentary on the Megillah called the Targum Rishon. And the Targum Rishon says that Haman didn't originally do a lottery that fell out on Adar, but he started with other months. And he says that originally Haman had landed on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. But because of the koach of Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos, Haman knew he couldn't touch the month of Shvat. There was no way he would be able to touch us in the month of Shvat. Question number one for tonight is, if anything, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, we don't think of being the time of Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us there's a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that the beginning, the birthday of the trees, is on Rosh Chodesh. But the opinion of Beis Hillel, which we follow, is that it falls out on Tu B'Shvat. So why is it that the Targum Rishon learns that there's something special to the point that even in the time of Haman, Rosh Chodesh Shvat was the real Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos? Secondly, we need to understand the Shita of Beis Shammai. The opinion of Beis Hillel is that when it comes to determining whether a fruit is from the previous year or the next year, you look at the buds. That's the opinion of Beis Hillel. But Beis Shammai, for some reason, says, no, you don't look at the tree itself. You have to know what's going on inside of the tree. And the tree already begins to change and begins to develop for the next year, that there's sap that's going through the tree already from Rosh Chodesh, already now. What's that machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? There's one more machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, which will probably be connected to many other machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And that is the Mishnah in Brachos tells us what bracha we make on fire. Matzoi Shabbos. What bracha do we make on the Havdalah candle? Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. That also is Shita as Beis Hillel. But Beis Shammai is a different Shita. Beis Shammai's Shita is Bora in the past. Bora, Hashem created in the past. Ma'or, one light. Ha'esh. The Gra explains that Beis Hillel looks at light the way you and I perceive it, that there are many, many different lights. But Beis Shammai focuses on what's called in Kabbalah the Or HaGonuz, the source of all lights, the hidden light. In other words, Beis Hillel focuses on the different lights that you and I see, and it's Borei in the present. But Beis Shammai says that we go back, Bora Ma'ora Esh. So to deal with this machlokis and to understand what exactly Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing about, let's go to a beautiful Nesiv HaShalom in this week's parasha. Nesiv HaShalom says, the first mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, HaChodesh HaZelochem, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, is not a coincidence that was the first mitzvah was given to us in Golus. Klal Yisrael had fallen down to the last rung before absolute destruction, the 49th level of Shaarei Tumah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is Rosh Chodesh, that we follow the lunar calendar and not the solar calendar. The sun is consistent. It rises every day. The pasuk in Kohelet says, Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. Nature repeats itself and repeats itself and repeats itself. But in Chassidus we say, Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh. Paradoxically, even though the sun is higher up, but we follow the lunar calendar because the message, and this message Rav Soloveitchik also spoke about, is Rosh Chodesh tells us that inside of Klal Yisrael is the tremendous power of Ischatrus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending the message, no matter where you are and what you are, you have inside of your DNA the ability to recreate yourself. The kolach of Ischad Shus of Klal Yisrael. And that defines us. That is the essence of who we are. You know what the Jews said when they went back to the barracks at night? I've heard it from people who heard it directly from survivors. It's a very interesting Yiddish expression that they used. After a day of beating and murder, what were the thing? What did they say to each other? How were they mechazik each other? You know what they said to each other in Yiddish? Mirvelen ze oisleben. We're going to outlive them. We're going to survive them. The statement was said as a collective. They weren't crazy. They weren't in denial. Mirvelen ze oisleben. The Nazis were armed to the teeth. We had absolutely nothing. We didn't have an ounce of fat on our bodies. Mirvelen ze oisleben. We are going to outlive them. That means I don't know if I'm going to live. I don't know if you're going to live. And the odds are that most of us aren't. But we as a collective unit, we Klal Yisrael are going to survive them. And that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Mivelen Zei Oisleben is the DNA of Klal Yisrael. Achoydesh Hazeh Lachem. The Panovich Rav who lost his wife and all of his children. Who rebuilt the city of Panovich on a hill in Bnei Brak. And from there more Torah came out than ever. In all of the history of the Panovich and all of its fantastic, glorious history in Lithuania. The Panovich Rav used to travel often to Europe to raise money and to build his yeshiva. Panovich Rav was a genius. There was one time a fellow that said to him, Harav, there's no way I'm giving any money to any religious causes. I will never give. By the way, to this day, you know how much money is given to Torah from Jews, from Jewish philanthropy? You know how much more Columbia University has received from Jews than Yeshiva University? Do you know how much has been given to the arts and to medical schools from people? And this philanthropist was so no different. I think the numbers are something like 5%. 5% of Jewish philanthropy goes to anything that's remotely a Jewish religious cause. So this fellow says to the Panovich Rav, like the other 95%, he says to him, I will never give something for a place where people wear kippot. So Panovich Rav shook his hand. He said, it won't go for anybody that wears yarmulkes. The next day, they built a new Beis Yaakov in Bnei Brak. Panovich Rav was a genius. Panovich Rav travels to Europe. And on his way, he stops off in Rome. He has a stopover in Rome. It's pouring outside. Just visualize the scene. This is 1952. Chaval, if some of you can't visualize the Panovich Rav, you have to. What a maluch of a face. So Panovich Rav says, he learned Bechavrusas with Rav Chanan Wasserman. He says that I've gone off script. I'm so excited about the Panovich Rav. He learned Bechavrusa with Rav Chanan Wasserman, and Rav Chanan Wasserman, Panovich Rav told his Talmidim to get a sense of what the Hasmada was in Europe at the time. He said when Rav Chanan had a baby, he got a telegram. They used to learn, he said, 9 hours straight without hefsek, without interruption. And he said that Rav Chanan got a telegram. And he looked at it. And he looked at the telegram. He said, Weiter. They kept on learning. He had no idea what the telegram was. The next morning, Rabbi Chanan went over to Agave and said, can I have an aliyah? And he made a mishaberech for his daughter that had been born. That was the extent of Rabbi Chanan and the Panovich Rav's hasmada. Panovich Rav arrives to Rome. And he tells the driver, it's pouring outside. He tells the driver, take me to the Arch of Titus. The fellow that's with him, the Talmud that tries to convince them, now's not the time, they have an early flight tomorrow morning to England. Take me to the Arch of Titus. Panovich Rav gets out, it's pouring rain. And only in his crazy way, like the Panovich Rav could do, he goes up to the Arch of Titus and he says, Titus HaRasha, Herzlich Da! Irat gebrengt Klal Yisrael in Golus. I'll switch into Yiddish. You brought Klal Yisrael into Golus 2,000 years ago. And just a few years ago, my wife and children were murdered. And I want you to know that we're back in Eretz Yisrael. And I want you to know we're building Torah in Eretz Yisrael more than there ever was before. in the pouring rain, looking up at the Arch of Titus. That's the koach of Ischatshus of Klal Yisrael. And what those Jews saw, and what the Panovich Arav saw, was this koach that Klal Yisrael is able to look at its potential. Not the reality, but it's able to see its potential. I heard from Meiri V'Rabbi, Rav Nevin Sal Shlita, that's the pshat. And Rav Zevin writes about this as well. That's the pshat in the machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing about the following. Beis Hillel says, in this world, you have to focus on what reality is. The tree with its buds, that's a new tree and a new year. Beis Shammai says, no. We're going to look beyond the reality. Beis Shammai always focuses on potential. Because you know what you really are? You're not what you are in your physical state right now. Klape Shemayim, vis-a-vis heavens, you are your potential. Your potential is what you really are. And that's why, La'asid Lavo, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. We're going to paskin like Beis Shammai because, La'asid Lavo, the potential will become reality. Reality and potential are one. It's only down from heaven, and on the way to heaven, what happens is that things get lost. The potential gets lost. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem tells us that we have to do everything we can to reclaim that. Says the Targum Rishon, what scared Haman more than Rosh Chodesh, than Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. The potential of Klal Yisrael, that's its greatest koach. And that's the machlokis, Rav Neman Sal told me, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about the fire. Beis Hillel looks at the reality. Beis Shammai looks at that tremendous potential. I'm going to say something that's, I hope, striking to you. If not, then your senses are entirely dulled. I believe that most people only reach between 5% of the potential that's inside of them. I'll prove it to you in the physical world. How much does a woman think that she could bench lift? Not a lot. But you know what? God forbid, if a woman's baby is trapped under a car, it's happened once and it's happened twice, that a mother could harness a tremendous amount of strength that she had absolutely no idea that she has. A woman could bench lift much more than she thinks she can, and you can as well. It's a question of whether you really, really want it. How motivated are we really? Rav Fishman, the Mashkiach, the Torah's Moshe, pointed out that that's the pasuk in Tehillim. We're going to say it on Friday night. Tzadik ha-tamar yifrach. A tzadik is like a tamar tree. Why particularly a date tree? What's unique about a date tree? A date tree, its roots grow very, very deep into the ground before you see its fruits. So many of us say, there's no way I could do this. There's no way I could learn how to really, really read a Gemara. So many of the smicha guys say, there's no way that I can master Shulchan Aruch. I only have 2 years. I only have 3 years. There's so many things that we say that we can't do. And when we start, we don't see the fruits. We don't see the results. Rav Fishman pointed out, no, if you don't see the results, that's a simon. You're actually going in the right direction often. Because the tzidkus, you don't see its results right away. Tzadik ha-tam yifrach, the roots first grow very, very deep into the ground before you see the peros. And afuch, how are Rishon described? Ka'ali Yesev, they're like grass. Grass sprouts right away. If you're seeing the results right away, says the Gra in Rus, actually, it's time to get worried. Tzadik ha-tamar yifrach. It takes a while before you see the results. It takes a tremendous while. Ki ha-adam eitz ha-sadeh. That's what Chodesh Shvat is all about. The potential that's inside of us. They say that there was a physicist that saw somebody climbing up on top of a building and was about to jump. And the physicist says to him, don't jump, you have so much potential. So the guy comes down and he says, nah, no potential. For those of you who know physics, you understand that. We've had Lumdisha jokes the last couple of weeks. You got it? All right, I'm not going to explain. Rabosai, that's us. Our talk to ourselves, our self-talk is that as well. Our self-talk is that there are times that we say, I have so much potential, and then we come down and we forget about it. So what's the eitzah? How do we hold on to it? Well, as I love to do, I like to go to Sipurei Tzaddikim to try to hold on to it. How could we be able to look and see how we could hold on to that tremendous potential that's inside of us? It's a beautiful story I've said in the past. The Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal was well known that he managed in his chachma to be able to stay away from all politics. There was a sad time here in Eretz Yisrael when there were machlokios between Rabbanim, and usually it revolves around political issues. And Reb Shlomo Zalman managed to somehow straddle, not get involved in this machlokis. One hopes a machlokis l'shem shamayim. And there was someone who began to follow Reb Shlomo Zalman around, literally follow him around. And he said, at every opportunity, he would hound him, and he said, "The Rosh Yeshiva darf zogin das teira vas medarf shikin in kalpi." The Rosh Yeshiva has to say the das teira, what you have to throw into the voter's box. That's the expression that they use. Mazdaf shikin in kalpi. And Reb Shlomo Zalman refused to answer him. And then, after he continued to bother him, Reb Shlomo Zalman said, "I have to tell you the truth. The question you're asking me is an Olam Hazeh question." Reb Shlomo Zalman was then in his late 70s. He said, "The question you're asking me is Olam Hazeh, and I'm already very close to Olam Abba." Spooked the guy out, as if he was saying, "I don't have that much more time." Reb Shlomo Zalman lived till age 84. He was healthy almost entirely to the end. I was zocha to get into him only a few months before he passed away, and he was healthy, and he was even relatively strong. And the fellow sees him a couple of months later. It's after the elections, but now, of course, there's new elections, as there's always elections here in Israel. And he says to Reb Shlomo Zalman, "The Rosh Yeshiva dar zogin das teira." It was at a bris. And Reb Shlomo Zalman remembered the guy, and he remembered what he told him before. He said to him, "I'm in Olam Hazeh." Remember, he had told him that you have an Olam Hazeh question. "I'm in Olam Hazeh. I thought I was in Olam Haba." He said, "I must have come with Eliyahu HaNavi." And he turned around and he walked away. Rabosai, from Reb Shlomo Zalman, we learned that it's possible for a person to walk in Olam Hazeh and yet be in Olam Haba. The moment in which a person takes that approach, that I'm walking in Olam Hazeh, but I'm going to do everything I can to have the perspective of Olam Abba, then they'll begin to see the world from the perspective of Olam Abba. They'll begin to see the world from the perspective of Beis Shammai. They'll begin to see the world from the perspective of L'Asid Lavo. And that's the answer of how we realize our potential. We realize our potential by asking ourselves, how are we perceiving this world? Could we be perceiving this world from a greater, from a broader perspective? Or we've locked ourselves in. When we lock ourselves in, we say, "I grew up in this high school, and I went to this place, and I went to that place." Then we're being mitzamtzem ourselves. We're narrowing ourselves. Reb Shlomo Zalman taught us that it's possible for us to walk in Olam Hazeh and live in Olam Haba. It's possible for us to walk with Eliyahu HaNavi. The moment in which a person says, "I want to do that. I want to walk with Eliyahu HaNavi. I want to be a person like Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal." That's the moment in which a person could begin to now perceive the world from their potential as opposed to their reality. That's the Hischadshus of Tu B'Shvat. Says the Targum Rishon, Haman is much more scared of Beis Shammai than he is of Beis Hillel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmai. We paskin like Beis Hillel in this world, but we have to walk with Beis Shammai. Beis Hashem, if we're able to walk with Beis Shammai, we're able to walk with Reb Shlomo Zalman, we're able to walk with Eliyahu HaNavi, Beis Hashem will be able to tap into the tremendous koach of potential that lies in every single one of us.